Ah, homecoming week. It seems just fitting, Matt, that we would play this song.
Crew.
The Crew. I'm on my way.
I do know this song. I mean, I didn't know the one at the beginning of last week, but I do know this
song. You got this one?
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, it's Motley Crue.
Like, that's
who,
right.
Who doesn't know that song?
Just one more night! Let's pick it up from there. Home sweet home, we are this coming week. The Durant Wildcats come to town for a home sweet homecoming. I have a parade on Wednesday night. So weird to say it's on Wednesday because it was on Thursday for so many years, but change is made and it's the way it is. So Wednesday night's the parade. Thursday night's just Thursday night. And Friday night, we'll have a homecoming football game. And hopefully, Matt, we will have a home game without a monsoon being projected or forecasted. Right now, it looks really good.
Let's hope.
67 degrees is the forecasted high right now with zero, repeat, 0% chance of rain for next Friday. Knocking on all the wood you can.
I know. I like that temperature, though.
I do. That's football weather.
Absolutely.
Football, talking bear football is what we're doing right here on West Branch Football.com.
Well, almost.
Let's try
it again. Talking Bear Football on the West Branch Football Talking Bear Pot. No.
Yeah, see, how many times have we done this now? 20? This is the Talking Bear Football Podcast on WestBranchFootball.com. See, we got that.
We'll get it.
We got that.
Eventually.
40?
No, you know what? Before we start into this, I just want to say that I'm very upset with Mike Westcott. He did not email us this week with his score prediction or his pick to click.
Well, let me say two things about that in response. Okay. One,
Mike, I just wanted to get this out of the way.
Mike, that's not going to go over very well with the longtime locals in West Branch.
No.
If you're wanting to get your foot in the door, you know, you got to stay consistent. You got to be there. And you got to keep doing things. But two, my guess is that Mike, as the new guy, he is, he did not feel good about winning every week. He felt that he wanted a long time.
He wanted to let other people have the chance.
I don't know what's the word, the tenured residents to have a shot at winning.
It's true.
And Mike, we appreciate that. One other thing we appreciate, Matt, what's that?
That the Bears won 42-0.
Victory.
Yes.
42-0 Friday up there at the Wisconsin border, just south of Dubuque in Bellevue. What a beautiful backdrop,
man.
That is,
beautiful,
man.
Back. I mean, not just the hills and the scenery, but the sunset was great, too.
And during the national anthem, we had an actual flyover, the geese.
True.
They were so thankful for that national anthem because beginning on Saturday, which was yesterday, was goose season opens. So they were probably trying to do their best, you know, to kind of get a lay of the land where, a hunter could be there. He might be sitting over there in that brush. They're trying to get their lay of the land, but they also did true Americana right there.
Troy was really giddy about getting out in that field behind the visitor stands and, you know.
He was ready.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Old Mother Hother Goose put that on the cupboard. 42-0, the final score, West Branch over Bellevue. The Bears, well, let's just say they took control from the opening kick and never really relinquished control. The opening kick, Aaron Barnes kind of bobbles at about the 7, returns it to the 36-yard line.
Correct.
And the next play was
Luke Lenock
touchdown.
Was gone.
64 yards, goes inside, bounces it outside, has some great seal blocks on the outside by Garrett Tucker. Great left guard block there by Jacob Barnhart. And then about 40 yards down the field, his fullback, Devin Kendon, looks around like, okay, what do I put? He literally puts his hands up like, what? And then he turns around and sees a Bellevue player, pushes him off of his feet, and he slides about 2 yards into the cheerleaders of Bellevue on the sideline. And then Luke runs the next 30 yards into the end zone, 7-0 Bears, and they were literally, Matt, off and running.
Yeah. I mean, that's the second time this year that Luke has taken the first play.
That's right.
The first time was...
71 yards against whom?
Lisbon. That's what I thought. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, that was quite the way to start the season. This was definitely the right way to start this game.
That's a good way to start the game. You're on the road after a long drive. then you, I said it in the beginning, and I talked to a couple other people that were around, and I said, it just seemed like the whole pregame was kind of flat. It was not for just West Branch. I mean, it was just kind of.
No, you were telling me that before we even kicked off.
Yeah.
And then that happened.
And then that once that happened, I'm like, oh, well, okay, we're good now. We're good now. And then the Bears get the Comets to go, six and out.
Six plays or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Aaron Barnes, second game in a row. I mean, not just for Barnes, but this is great for the punt return team a whole. He takes Bellevue's punt 75 yards down the right sideline, or visitor sideline, I should say. Right. Well, it would be to his right.
His right, yeah.
75 yards for punt return touchdown, which... I think that's the only time that's happened, two games in a row?
I've never seen it.
Something like that.
It's not really, there's no real school record set for that. It's just that's a pretty neat accomplishment.
Yeah.
From an individual standpoint, great. But from a team standpoint, to have a special teams touchdown in back-to-back week, mm-hmm. Coach Kevin Crosswaite is doing some great things there with those team and the kids that are participating in that. It's their touchdown. It's a West Branch touchdown. Absolutely. I mean, Barnes gets his name in the paper, but it's their 6 points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then from then on, it was just here and there. The Bears couldn't get – the only time they got stopped in the first half was at the 4-yard line, a fumbled snap.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only time the Bears were stopped on offense in the first half.
Yeah.
But he sort of made up for that, did Cooper Koenig. later on in the game, the Bears get the ball at the 4-yard line.
I think it was halfway in the second quarter.
Yeah. The 4-yard line, get it up to the 10, and then, a little ride play. I timed it. I put it on Twitter. I literally got my stopwatch out. Rides the fullback, Kendon, makes the turn at about the 9, at the 7-yard line, makes his turn, goes 4 yards parallel to the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and then turns on the jets for 93. And that took a little bit over, right at about 10 seconds, 9.85 seconds to run 90 yards. His strides are about 38 yards long per stride. So he's got long strides. No wonder he's a good long jumper.
Yeah, that was just a heck of a play. I mean, everybody on the sideline was just like, see ya, because we all know how fast Cooper runs. And we had a chance to talk to him about that play, which we might as well just start it right
now.
Let's
just use it now.
All right, perfect.
This is Cooper Koenig. Here with West Branch quarterback Cooper Koenig. Welcome to the Talking Bear Football Podcast, Cooper. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, it's real great to be here.
Well, so far, just kind of giving you, the Bears are sitting at 5 wins, 0 losses, 2 wins, 0 losses in Class 1A District 5. Kind of give me what your feelings are thus far of the first 5 games and, just kind of being a part of the West Branch football program.
I just like the way we move here from week to week, and, it's 1-0 each week, and, I feel like we've really done a good job transitioning, preparing for each team. And I mean, this last week of practice was a tough one, but I think we needed it.
Yeah, sometimes teams need that refocus once in a while when they are playing, sort of getting into the heart of their schedule. Kind of need to refocus and get back to the basic of football. And do you feel that these coaches here at West Branch, Coach Peterson, Coach Tiley et al., sort of embody that with the way they coach you guys week to week?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, just their level of focus and the standards they're holding us to, and the standards that they hold their assistant coaches to are incredible. I mean, it's just great to be part of a program where being average isn't okay. We strive for being above average and being an exceptional team, and I think it's probably one of the best things to be a part of.
So how fun is it to what's your relationship like when you come off the field on the sideline there? It's always kind of fun if you're not playing defense, which you don't do very often, to be able to stand there and chat with your offensive coordinator, Jared Tiley. You guys can have some fun, but also can kind of look forward to when the team gets the ball back.
Well, it's usually when I come off after the first possession, the first thing they'll ask me is what I'm seeing and, how my reads are going. And, some of the audible or the read plays where, it depends on what happens in the play. I have to make a read here or there. I mean, he wants to know what I'm seeing. He wants to know what the guys in the booth are seeing so we could, you know, make it easy on the linemen, get them the best pass to the secondary and to the linebackers as they can get, and, you know, help Luke, help Devin, help myself, you know, have some big holes. And, you know, I think that, you know, we do a good job communicating back and forth, seeing what's there. And, you know, after the first possession, you know, then we start talking, you know, what play's working and, you know, who's doing well where, and, you know, how we can get them the ball.
Well, speaking of doing well where, last Friday night, the Bears 42-0 at Bellevue drove 3 hours round trip for a game in the second half. The Bears performed well enough that we got to get the clock running a little bit continuously in the second half. I mean, that's always a good thing, not just from a perspective of the team offense is doing well, if you're on the team that has the clock, that is performed well enough to get the clock running, but the opportunity of everybody gets a chance to be a part of the pie on that, and it's kind of neat. I saw something from you, you know, as a leader of the team. It's kind of neat to see a lot of guys that may not get the opportunity to see the field on offense all the time got the chance and actually were able to shine a little bit.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, just for example, I mean, you know, Brandon Rummelhart, you know, he works hard, you know, not necessarily getting the playing time that, you know, he's worked for, but, you know, I think he keeps a pretty cool head, and he got out there, and he, you know, first pass he threw was completed to, you know, another guy who, you know, he's probably been through a little bit of tough times this year, Jacob Steika, and, you know, I think he's kept a smile on his face more than anyone on the team, you know, when things go up and down. And, you know, I think both those guys really deserved the playing time they got in the second half, and, you know, the stats that they got. I mean, I know stats aren't everything, but I think Jacob will be pretty happy with a 27-yard catch.
Yeah, all day, Steika. Saw that on the in the highlight film package that Matt Schnander put together. But it all told, the team put up 495 offensive yards. 340 of them were in the first – 62 of them, I think, were in the first half, including a 90-yard run by yourself. I mean, what's it like when you turn the corner and you see one guy to your right, about eight blue jerseys to your left, and you just hit the hole, put the jets on, and there's literally nothing in front of you? What kind of feeling does that give a player? Come on, man.
I mean, it really gets your heart racing. You know, things going through your mind are kind of like, oh dang, is this really happening right now? Do I really not see a single blue jersey in front of my face? And, you know, next you just gotta, you know, turn the jets on and, you know, hope that no one catches you from behind. And, you know, I feel like I did a pretty good job getting away from those guys and, you know, separating. You know, it's kind of tough outrunning everyone on the field. That, I mean, there's no one really to celebrate with in the end zone. I mean, you got to kind of run back and celebrate with your guys, you know, wherever they are on the field. But it's awesome, you know, getting away and running for that long of a distance.
Well, they had to run up to you because the team then had to go catch up and try to make a 2-point conversion, which you guys successfully completed. So you got to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Devin ran up to me holding up two fingers, and I didn't know quite what he meant, but, you know, he told me 2-point conversion, so I had to kind of catch my breath a little bit and, you know, call a play in the huddle.
Well, from an offensive skill position like the quarterback and the running back, the most important people to you are the five guys standing right in front of you. Well, first the center, you got to get the ball from him, but the other, including him, the five guys in front of you. Can you speak to what level of growth this offensive line has seen from game one to game five?
Yeah, I feel like these guys, you know, are doing an incredible job. The amount of comfort I feel in the pocket when I get to the end of my drop is unreal. It's almost like, you know, there's not even a pass rush most of the time. You know, when guys send blitzes, you know, we pick them up well. I mean, Kyle's really, I see what he's got going on during practice. He's helping out, picking up blitzes. Luke's picking guys up. And, you know, just in the run game, I mean, we were moving guys. I watched the film of the Bellevue game, and, you know, there was a couple plays where Barnhart straight up buried his guy in the ground. It was really cool to see. You know, Luke not even really having to make much of an effort once he hits the hole because, you know, those guys are paving the way for him.
That's sort of what hopefully things are set up to do. And through the years, I think we've seen when you've got the guy, an offensive lineman does his job. Boy, does it make it easy for, well, your 90-yard touchdown run. And then it's nice on those reads when you can dive and you got a guy behind you that ran for 2,000 yards last year that they sometimes forget about the fact that, well, you know, you're not too bad of a runner either. But to have those options and those five guys blocking the way they have up front is making this team a lot more diversified.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were a big question mark at the beginning of this year. And, you know, I think they've erased all the questions people have had for them. Just, you know, they're the ones that, you know, the game's won in the trenches. The game's won up front with the big guys. And, you know, they're doing their job and, you know, they're winning us games.
He sounds like a quarterback. He's, let's say this. He's very well schooled in the art of interviewing. He said
he went to the Coach Peterson
He went to the Jason J.P. Miller School of Interviewing.
That too.
You want to say a lot. You want to make sure and take care of everybody on your team. You want to thank everybody else, and you want to be very, very humble.
But you know what? He's genuine. He's genuinely saying all those things. Like he's not saying them just to say it. He's genuinely saying those things.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect that. He's my neighbor, so I mean. We're genuine Bear fans, and we're genuine fans of all the kids on this team. And it's nice to what a different experience it is for this kid. You know, last year his team did not win a football game. That's not any knock on his former school, but to come over here, and now he's 1 week away. If they get a win, we will talk about the Durant game in a little bit, but the Durant being the homecoming game coming up next Friday, if they get a win, he's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they still have three games left.
Well, and so with the win Friday, that clinched a winning season.
Yes, which he didn't have, you know, last year.
Yeah, and then as you just said, if we win next week, you know, we're in the playoffs no matter playoffs. What we do the last three games. Yes, we're talking about the playoffs already. Yes.
Playoffs. Yep. All right, we are talking about the playoffs now because they're literally on the horizon and teams get eligible now. Like Al Burnett is actually already eligible to participate. They're more than likely with three wins in the district are going to be in the playoffs. They are 3-0.
Right.
The Bears are tied, 2-0. Mm-hmm. Al Burnett and West Branch.
Wilton.
And Wilton. There are three teams undefeated in Class 1A District 5. And I got a feeling today's going to be a good night. No. That the Bears and Wilton and Al Burnett will decide the first three spots in this district. That fourth spot could go to a team like Durant or Wampolo or even Bellevue or North Cedar.
Yeah,
well,
guess what?
Those are all the options.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a fight for the, you know, the third and fourth.
It is.
Or probably the fourth position.
Because I think Al Burnett and Wilton's in West Branch, those three teams are going to decide. Yep. Well, you know, we'd like to think that West Branch is going to be involved in the first or second position. We'd like to say that, but we don't know.
Those three teams
are going to decide the top three.
And our last two games are against those teams.
Yeah.
So Wilton and Al Burnett. So those last week 8 and 9 of the season is going to really shape up our district.
And after week 7, we're going to have a lot of fun talking on our podcast.
But this game.
But this was week 5.
Yeah.
And this was Bellevue. You heard a little bit of it about from some of the statistics from the game on Friday. We've talked about some of the scoring plays. Mm-hmm. The Bears piled up 495, that's 495 total yards, 364 of them on the ground. What? That's what? That's a lot of yardage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's or 354, I should say, not 64. And that means Cooper Koenig threw for 114, and he already alluded to Brandon Rummelhart completing one pass for 27 yards, two. Jacob Alday Steika, and all total 141 yards passing. No interceptions, one touchdown, 8 of 11. That's a completion percentage of 72.7 combined. So the Bears averaged 9.32 yards per carry, helped out by that gaudy 3.35 yards per carry average by Mr. Koenig, three carries, 105 yards.
That doesn't even count.
And one of those carries, by the way, one of which was a negative carry on a fumbled snap. So he basically had two carries for about 102 yards. Wow. That's not a bad – I mean, you take the average, there's what, 51?
Yep.
I didn't need the Common Core to figure that out.
That one's easy.
That's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Lenock, 157 yards on 13 carries, you know, and three touchdowns, by the way. Average 12 yards per carry. If you're disappointed about that, then you know what? I don't really get it.
I don't know what to tell you.
I wanted him to get more yards, I heard some people saying. I wanted him to win a football game. Let's just be honest.
Right.
I'll take 12 yards a carry. Guess what that means on every single play? First down.
First down, right. I mean, who, it doesn't matter whether it's Lennox or Kindon or Schreiber.
I don't
or,
care who it is.
Or Sam Martin's carrying it. Who, oh, dude, doesn't
he
matter.
Ran hard the other night.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's always – I love getting, you know, the second team in just because I think we have such depth at all of our positions with Brandon Romelhardt at quarterback, Sam Martin's and Nick Schreiber kind of carrying the load at running back. And, you know, you even can get Derek Sparks in there from time to time too. It's – I'm just glad that we were able to, you know, get ahead as much as we did, so that way the guys that deserve some playing time have been working hard all season, got quite a bit of playing time too. Yeah.
All of Koenig's passes, by the way, 7 of 10 for 114, were for around 17 yards of completion, if I do my math right on that one, about 16 to 17 yards of completion. That's not a bad average.
Well, 16.29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 to 17, is that what I said? I thought so. Yeah. 4 of which went to Barnes, Aaron Barnes, for 53 yards. 1, a 17-yard completion to Mr. Kindon. 1 reception, 17 yards. And 2 completions to Hunter Wargo, who took one of them, 32 yards to the end zone for a West Branch touchdown. Koenig to Wargo, 17 yards. And his first one of the season.
I thought that was 32.
I said 32 yards, one of which he took the... But
what did you say, 17? What?
Huh?
I thought you said
no, 17. I said Kindon's was 17 yard completion. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. No worries. We're there.
Gotcha.
We're here.
Gotcha.
Do you want to know a fun stat?
Sure.
This team is 5-0. 5 wins and 0 losses through 5 games. Without looking at your statistics, can you believe... Name a player for the Bears. Does a lot of stuff for them, and, you know, this player is... Probably doesn't really care about the stuff, this end zone that being in. As long as his teammates get in there, we get victories. Name me the player who hasn't scored a touchdown this year.
Devin Kindon.
Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm.
For a kid that scored ever.
Probably once a game.
Yeah. Year. Let's just say that probably going to change sometime soon. Let, you know, at some point, he'll get in there. But we talked about that on the way home the other night on the bus, and he said, we win. He told me, if we win, that's fine.
Yeah.
If I score, was score.
He was telling me,
we win.
He was telling me that on the sideline Friday, you know, like, he said, like, you know, I'm not getting the ball as much as I did last year, but I really don't care because we're doing so well. And, you know, the offense is doing great that I really don't care. Like, he said that he finds just as much an enjoyment in going out there and blocking and paving the way for Luke, whoever has the ball, as he does actually getting the ball himself. So
as long as he keep making those extra points and those field goals, you just go ahead.
He's all right.
I'm all right with that.
Yep.
And average is about 40 yards a punt. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody, not just I think everybody is okay with that. He does so many different things for the team. And on defense.
He had 10 tackles.
He had 10 tackles. That was that was the segue.
I know.
We were there.
I was waiting for that.
But on defense, he and, well, who's the other guy you think that had 10 tackles?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe Cale Donovan?
Maybe?
Dude, that kid's a spark plug. He's
Little
everywhere.
Donnie. Little Donnie.
Little Donnie. And he's got Little Donnie. he had 10 tackles as well. Jake Evans continued the sack attack with 2 of them.
This is my pick to click.
And that was your pick to click and for the game. Oh, that's fine. Don't pick me, Jason. Talk about me all the time. You haven't picked me. I'm like, I set Matt up for that.
Oh, you did not.
I set him up. I gave it to him.
Nope.
We've been talking positively about him.
That was all me.
I gave it to him.
That was all me.
Like Drake, is all me? No, let's never bring a Drake reference into this ever again.
Nope, never again.
But anyway, he had 2 sacks. Devin Kindon also had a part of a sack. And the Bears held the Comets.
Bellevue?
Matt, the Bellevue Comets. I think it was 201 yards total.
I'm
not
correct.
Scrolled down on my page, but
you're
that
correct.
Was it. But that's not a bad effort. And a bunch of that. They had 2 big drives. Outside of that, they were limited. That's a young football team. I mean, they had to replace a bunch of guys at quarterback, their receivers, a bunch of linemen. You know, and talking to one of the kids on the way back after the game, on the way back to the locker room, had the opportunity to talk to, I can't think of his name, but he was number 10 on the team. And we talked all the way from the field back to the locker room about, you know, said that we had a goal. We'd love to have won this game, but, you know, the rest of our schedule, we're going to make the playoffs. We are going to win out, and they're going to make the playoffs. That's the what a great attitude.
That. Yeah,
that's great. You don't give up after you're getting beat.
No.
42-0.
No.
You're like, we're already looking forward. We're going to win the rest of our games, and we're going to get to make the playoffs. Those are the kind of teams I want on our schedule. Those are the kind of kids that I want on our team.
Yeah.
That whenever the chips are, sometimes you might be down on your daughters. Take it, make a positive spin.
Mm-hmm.
Take it positively. So close this one up for us, Matt. 42-0. What are your takeaways from this game?
The turnover thing was huge. And night and day difference just from like a confidence and attitude, an energy level, from last Saturday to Friday night's game. Just night and day difference. And it was great to see the team bounce back this week, especially after a hard week of practice. Coach Peterson was saying that they really, worked the team this week, both tackling, ball security, running, making sure they're conditioned, etc. And it really showed. It really showed Friday, and that was great to see. It was great to see.
It was good to see. So more statistics, we mentioned some names. Nick Schreiber had 15 yards rushing. Samuel Martin's 21. Brandon Rummelhart with a nice pop-up slide after about a 10-yard carry. He's been watching some NFL football.
Yeah, that was an NFL-type slide. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That was great.
Just past the first down sticks. First down, the slide. 20 yards, and he also had 27 yards passing. Devin Kinnon, 39 yards rushing. And Derek Sparks, 1 carry, 1 yard. That closes the books on this game. Let's move on now, Matt, to the Durant Wildcats. The Wildcats come to town, as I mentioned previously, off of a 54-14 loss against Albernett on the road the week before. It was 28-14. Sorry. They played 2 games in 5 days. They played their homecoming game due to the storm the following previous Friday. They played their homecoming game on last Monday.
Yeah.
It was like a third week playoff schedule. Monday, they lost 28-14 in their homecoming game to Wilton, and then they lost 54-14. You got to think that playing that's why the playoff system is going to be making its change, Matt. I mean, this is part of West Branch football because we're talking the playoffs and we've been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think that it was the part of the decision to make these changes. Having 2 games in the course of 5 days of football. Football, 2 games in 5 days is pretty rare. I mean, I can see basketball game, 2 games in 3 days.
Yeah.
There's not as much contact. Or a baseball game. You get the chance to rest some. And football, you get to rest a little bit between plays, but you can also go and you can contort your body in different ways in football than any other sport.
Yeah. It's going back to the playoff stuff, that's why we're seeing the changes that we're going to see next year with, half the teams are going to get in, but it's so that you can have a full week between games. And the Monday to Friday stuff, that's a playoff week type of game. And it's just, it's not good. I mean, for high school kids, I mean, their bodies are so, like they rejuvenate so quickly. I mean, they could probably play a game the next day and be 90%, as long as, nobody got hurt or anything the previous day. But like, I don't know, the week between games, I think it's a big factor, especially if you get somebody hurt, like with an ankle or something, because, you have like an ankle injury in baseball, right? And you might play a game the next day, you might play a game 2 days from now, and that doesn't give that injured player enough time to re-heal, rejuvenate, get back to a level to where they can play. And that can really change the shape of your team. And with baseball, you have, 30 games, so maybe and having...
We don't play at a school, don't take this wrong, West Branch, but there are a lot of schools that say, there are a lot of high school programs and sometimes even college, they don't do scouting reports. You just go and you practice.
Right.
What you practice.
Right. And so, with the small number of games that you have in football, and each game really matters, having all of your players there is a huge advantage. And giving only 4 days rest between, especially if somebody has a little injury that they need a full week to heal, that makes a big difference.
It does. And then one of those days, you want it, it's going to be a kind of a rest day.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
Sunday, Saturday or Sunday is usually mm-hmm. your rest day. Mm-hmm. Well, when you play a game on a Monday and got to play again on a Friday.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday can't be a rest day because that's your preparation. That's your first preparation day for a game 3 days away.
Right.
And Wednesday becomes your really, really tough day like it usually is anyway. Mm-hmm. Thursday becomes your walk-through day most mm-hmm. of the time. And then mm-hmm. Friday you're playing a football game.
Right.
So it just throws everything off.
Yeah.
But anyway, they'll be coming to West Branch on homecoming. There's that old adage is that you always try to schedule a game on homecoming that might be you. Hopefully you want to get a homecoming victory.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this case. I brought it up with Cooper in the interview, and we will go ahead and air that here in about 30 seconds. But I brought it up that last year, man, we were there. West Branch struggled with this Durant team in the first half.
Yeah, that was they really put up a fight that first half. It was kind of nerve-wracking, too. And, I mean, it's not like it was unexpected, but it's just – I don't know, I don't really know how to explain that. You know, it's just, yeah, they put up a fight. I mean, just like most of these teams in our district can do.
Yeah. Well, and then
they can make things tough.
When you're the trailblazer, when you're at the top of those standings, the teams below you,
yep.
you now have that target on mm-hmm. your back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the teams that may not have won one or zero games rather mm-hmm. in the district, well, they A, want to get a signature victory and B, they have no choice. As I said last week, I'll use the same analogy.
Yeah.
This is a 12-round fight.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, 11 rounds down, if they don't knock you out,
mm-hmm.
there's no way in heck they're going to win the bout.
Yeah.
So they're going to come out with every trick in the book and every punch they got in the arsenal.
And not to mention, they want to spoil our homecoming game.
Yeah.
You know, that would just mean so much more. Even like that's added fuel to the fire.
It is.
And I think even Coop talked about that
well,
in our interview with
him.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, then moving on real quickly to Durant. I know you really haven't had much time you haven't had much practice preparation time yet. You'll begin that on Monday. That's tomorrow. What do you expect from the Wildcats who've had kind of an interesting, I mean, last Friday against Albernette, they just weren't up to the task for that. Well, Albernette's a good football team, but they've also got a district. The Wildcats have a district victory under their belt against Wapello. So this is a team that can come bite you. And I know last year in the first half, West Branch struggled with them. 26-13 was the halftime score. This is a team that wants to come over here and have to prove themselves to get victories. If they don't, they're outside looking in come playoff time.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, it's our homecoming, and, you know, no one likes to be the homecoming game. You always want to go in there and spoil a homecoming. So these guys are going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, we can't overlook any opponent, you know, no matter the record, no matter, you know, what they've done this year. I think they have, you know, a talented quarterback with Will Bentley, and, you know, their defense is going to be pretty good, you know, up front, and with their good linebackers core that they have, and, you know, it's not going to be an easy task. There's not going to be an easy task ahead of us for the rest of the year. And, you know, I think that Coach Ty Lee, Coach Peterson, and, you know, the rest of the guys are going to have us, you know, prepped up just as well as we were last week. And I think, you know, big things are coming for us.
Well, one game at a time, like you said, want to go 1-0 each week, right?
Definitely.
Well, hopefully Friday night it's 1-0 and 6-0 on the season after we're done. Thanks for taking time out of your Sunday to chit-chat with us, get back to probably watching a little football or maybe even taking care of your little brother. That seems to be a full-time job, and I tell you what, you're a pretty good big brother when I see you guys hanging out. He sure looks up to you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's a little pain in the neck, but, you know, I love him.
Well, that's all part of – I hope my brother said the same thing about me, you know, when we were little too. So thanks for your time today. We'll look forward to talking to you again sometime in the near future.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks, man. Durant, like Coop said, like you said, Matt, homecoming victory, a win a game, that's the other team's homecoming victory when you're on the road, that's a statement game. Statement game is beating West Branch, who's at the top of the standing, one of the teams at the top of the standings as well. Durant still needs more than likely at least one, if not two more, victories on the rest of the road down the final four games of the season
mm-hmm.
to make the playoffs. And right now they're standing with one victory in the district, and that was their first game against Wapello, and have lost their last two against Wilton and Albernette. They Come in here. We don't really have full stats, Matt, because they have not updated their quick stats compilation yet. It's been a couple of weeks. That's their fault. That's not their fault. That's their job. If they want, you know, it's no big deal, but we have what we have. I don't need to really look at the stats to tell you a couple of the guys that they had coming back were going to be the key components. Quarterback Will Bentley is also an all-state punter, by the way. Last year, we actually blocked one of his punts. Jacob Giese did. And, you know, before that, he did a little bit of a fake punt, a little jump, Tebow jump pass on their first drive and scored. But Bentley, after three games, was averaging 100. He had more yards after three games passing than did Mr. Koenig. He had 450. Coop was in like the 4-4. I don't know. Somewhere it doesn't matter. But he had five touchdowns passing through the first three games. And I knew also Brandon Dykes returned as their leading rusher, was averaging around seven yards a carry, 244. Gavin Blake, through three games, was also averaging 6.7 yards a carry. They're both just over 200 yards. And Gavin Blake is the number one receiver. He's got 213 yards rushing, 201 yards receiving. Guess who's the number two receiver? Brandon Dykes, guy who was a leading rusher. So let's just say those guys tote the mail a lot. The ball is going to be in their hands a lot. We don't know what their stats were the last two games, but those guys are the guys you're going to have to watch out for. Bentley's a big kid. Yeah. He's a big, strong kid. He's got 50 yards rushing as well, and probably some of that. You know, when you look at quarterbacks rushing, a lot of times if they get sacked, it hurts their totals. Yeah. But he's got 50 yards rushing too.
I'm gonna guess that the coaching staff can see that, you know, as well as we can. Yes. In terms of that, those three guys kind of mainly get the main yardage for the team, and you stop them, we're gonna see what Durant's about in terms of how their other guys can do and what their other guys are able to do.
You will see a wishbone. You will see doubles on one side, single out on the left side, the other side on the other side at one point. Boy, that was a lot of others on the other. You'll see a few formations, but the main thing you're going to see, Matt, we're going to see a wishbone. You got a fullback, you got two tailbacks split in the backfield. And if they go right, if they're not diving to the fullback, he's the lead blocker. Then you got two options. You got the tailback, the tailback to that, the side you're moving the ball, going off the end. It's kind of like an old veer rush. Or you've got the backside back coming around for a pitch. There's a lot of different movements. Not quite as Barnum and Bailey Circus kind of stuff as Sigourney Kyoto has, with spins and flips and I don't know what, and direct snaps and all kinds of stuff. But there's some trickery in that. And it can, you know, if you're not playing assignment defense, a wishbone can bite you, as we saw many years ago, every year against the Mount Vernon Mustangs, who ran the wishbone for years and years and years. They don't do that anymore. But that's what you're going to see. And you're going to see there's no real spread the defense out, go 4-5 wide stuff, Matt. It's really traditional. So what we've seen recently with the traditional, with Bears on their assignment defense, playing, getting a lot better on covering the middle of the field and containing the out to the edges, I don't want to be rude, but this should play right into the way this defense plays. Should play right into their hands a little bit.
And you know, and regardless of the kind of offense that we face, I feel like this defense can adjust and, you know, really take on whether it's a traditional offense, a spread amount type of offense, mainly rushing offense. I think that Coach Peterson and the rest of the guys on the defensive staff can really utilize the best out of each player to. Even like flip a switch from a spread amount and speed offense to more traditional offense, you know, really without a hitch. The big thing is just those defensive ends getting pressure, whether it's on, you know, forcing runs inside to our big guys on the inside, or keeping a quarterback contained in the pocket or giving him pressure, whatever it may be. I really think it's going to be up to Cobble and Evans to really kind of, you know, set the tone.
Yeah, that, and they weren't, I want to say it was a little bit quiet. You know what I mean? It was a quiet night for them this last week against Bellevue, as I remember the team's name now. But on the other hand, it was a successful night. There really wasn't much stuff going on there around the outside. Mm-hmm. So they did their job.
Right.
To contain the outside, push the guys back in the middle, you know, for the D tackles, Roach or Grosvenor,
right,
at all to fill in.
Right, and as I was, you know, mentioned last week, that, you know, if they really their contributions to the team don't most of the time don't get put into a statistical category. It's more of a kind of a silent contribution.
Well, I think that this defense is starting to they're starting to find an identity. They're starting to hang their hat on how I like that term, that phrase I used a few weeks back in one of our previews, having a party at the football. It's not just one guy getting the ball now. A lot of guys, that's a group. It's you see a ball, it's defense. You see the ball, go get the ball.
Yeah, Friday, Coach Peterson was pretty big on that. Quite a bit throughout the game, he was saying, run to the ball, run to the ball. And he was talking about the whole team rather than just the guy, you know, trying to make the tackle. That was the whole team, gang tackling. Just in case, you know, that offensive guy slips out and we have other guys there to take him down.
That's right. So let's give in a little West Branch statistical information on the season totals here, Matt. Then we'll move forward to, this is what everybody listens for anyway, right?
Yeah. If they haven't already fast-forwarded.
Cooper Koenig, 61% completion on the percentage on the season, 825 yards passing so far, 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. That means he's throwing for a hard, quick math, like 165 yards per game. That would put him on pace to, well, break the school record, but we're not worried about that. The only record they're really trying to win is to break next week to go 1-0. That's the only record we need is 1-0 next week. Cooper Koenig has also rushed for 251 yards, 6.6 yards, a carry, 5 touchdowns. Leading rusher, of course, is Mr. Luke Lenock. Lenock with 778 yards rushing, 8.8 per tote. 11 touchdowns. That's 2 touchdowns a game, Matt. That's a nice little pace. I take 2 touchdowns out of him every game and like to take my chances to get 2 other touchdowns on average from Koenig, and then you're getting 1 to fill in from somebody else. That's 35 points a game. I take my chances with that against anybody.
Especially almost with anybody, the defense,
the way it's playing. Receiving core, Matt Schauber continues to lead the Bears with 15 receptions, 225 yards. Did not play last week. All Showtime's going to be back, ready to get on the stage here soon. Aaron Barnes, 12 receptions, 222 yards, 18.5 yards per catch. We've already chronicled his back-to-back punt returns, Matt, for touchdowns the last 2 games. He does a lot of different things in a lot of different ways.
I love how patient he is.
Yeah.
Whether he's running the ball, he has the ball as a receiver, returning kicks or punts. He's very patient and most of the time it's kind of funny unless he's in wide open field, you know, catching a reception or something, it really looks like he's running 100%. And that works for him because he is so patient and he can see holes forming, uses his blocks and get around the defenders. I mean, prime example is if you watch the film on the website of his punt return from this Friday. I mean, you just watch him, it kind of just looks like he's jogging. And because he's fast enough that he can kind of get away with that and just be patient and wait for holes to open up and use his blockers. I really like that about him running the ball.
Yeah. Defensive side of the ball, Cale Donovan, 28.5 tackles to lead the Bears, 25 tackles for Devin Kindon. Aaron Barnes has 20. The sack man, Jake Evans, the sack man, has 7 sacks now on the season. After the first 2 games, he had 3 total tackles. He now has 13.5 tackles. 7 of those in the last 3 games are sacks. He's really coming on. If I recall, that was your pick to click.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. But right now, Matt, we'll have the opportunity to get into your favorite part of the program. We get to talk about our sponsors, and you can lead us right into the pick, the score, to click, and players and all that.
All that jazz?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we certainly want to thank Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, Hodge Construction, Dan and Julie Hayes at EMS Detergent Services, Plato Farms, West Branch Times, and the West Branch Lions Club for all their generous time and donation.
And my favorite, did you say?
I was just waiting for you.
Casa Tequila.
Yep.
Yes.
All their generous time and donations to the program. That way we can do the Bearcast, have the website, do the podcast here, and all the equipment and stuff we need for that. So we greatly appreciate their contributions.
And our silent benefactor who allowed, with their generous gift, has allowed us to bring our road games to you with a pretty clear signal by being able to purchase a hotspot, a Wi-Fi hotspot. So mm-hmm. you know who you are, and we really thank you. And hopefully the Bear fans around town that can't make the game, or around the country or wherever they are, are you know, grateful of that as well. So Matt, where are we at? What part of the program are we at now?
It's time for our review, our score predictions, and our picks a click from last week.
Well, I can review the score real quick for
Go ahead.
From last week.
Go ahead.
For our scores.
Uh-huh.
Matt went, I believe you went first with a score of 42-7.
Correct.
I believe I went second with a score of 43-7.
I got you.
You got me.
One point.
I tried to box him in. I took the high. Yep. I took the over.
Yep.
I should have said 43-6, then we would have tied.
Yeah.
But that's no fun. I don't really want to box you in that much. I just box on the high end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you win. You win that one. But what are our other scores? Who sent anything in? Obviously, Mike Westcott didn't.
Mike West didn't. So,
come on, Mike. Get it back this week, brother.
Tom Berger copied me again, as he always does.
So, Tommy's out there at the top.
And said 42-7, but I don't count his. and he, let's see, Brandon Lukowski said 49-0. So he tied us.
He tied.
Yeah, he tied. And he wrote in some comments, as he usually does here, and he said, Bellevue will come out aggressive, but the Bears will stop the run and force them to pass just about every snap after a few scores by the Bears.
Oh, not too bad.
No. Nope. That's all we got.
Nobody else besides, well, Sideline Tommy doesn't even send his in. We just know what his is going to be.
That doesn't even count.
He's Copycat Tommy.
Mm-hmm. New nickname.
Copycat Tom. So.
Picks
a click. I believe mine was Luke Lenock.
Yeah.
I used my Bieber one time on him this week. One time, and it was. After the first play, he clicked. It was done.
Yeah. I had Jake Evans.
Yeah, Jake Evans. Kid had two sacks. Well, sack and a half, two sacks. You know, he was on the quarterback twice.
I think that's a tie.
You want to call it a tie?
You had five tackles, too.
Yeah, five?
Mm-hmm.
How many tackles did Lenock have? Not that it matters.
One.
All right. So the tiebreaker on that one, what was the score, the final score?
42-0.
So they both get a point for that? It's a tie. Bears win. It's a tie.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect.
I'm good with that.
Jacob Steiko is the real pick to click. Yeah, all day, baby. My man.
And, of course, Sideline Tommy, he had Jake Evans.
He did?
Because he copied me.
No, he did not.
Yeah, he did.
Who did Brandon Lukowski
Brandon have? Had defensive line.
Oh, he took yours from last week.
He said, we'll cause havoc in the backfield. We'll get close to beating their own record with total rushing yards allowed.
Yeah. Well, it was good in theory.
They only had 111 rushing,
which is about quintuple 90
passing,
quintuple what we gave up last week.
Win's a win.
That's the key.
0 points.
That's what clicked.
0 points.
0 points.
0 points.
42 points on offense. Mm-hmm. That's one win. Everybody clicks when you're a Bear fan last week. So
this week,
Matt score.
Durant comes to town.
Wildcats. It's the sport of kings.
You know what?
Better than diamond rings.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. The Bears are back at home. It's homecoming.
No rain, hopefully.
No. We're back at home. It's homecoming. We're fired up. We're 5-0.
You know
we win this and we're in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
I'm talking about it. I think we're going to be fired up.
All right.
My guess here is 49-6.
Okay. Here's the thing with that is that if they don't get 49 by halftime, they're not going to score 49 unless they're giving up a lot of points on defense.
Right.
So that has to be all first half points.
So you're saying we'll at least win by 35?
Yeah, well, for yours to be correct, we have to have 49 at halftime because unless the Bears' defense is giving up points, they won't, bear it. That's just not how Coach Peterson is.
Right.
He just doesn't do it that way.
Yep.
He won't. You know, when we were up 35-0, stop Bellevue after the first drive of the second half, score on our first drive, 42-0. Everybody started coming out. Everybody. We had a continuous clock going with 7 or 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Pretty much every starter was off the field by that. At the end of the third quarter, I know for a fact they were by about the 3-minute mark. So I like your score, 49-6. I was the 49 was where I was going to go. I will say 49-0.
Mm.
So you got me boxed on the other side.
I like that one, though.
You're welcome.
I like that one.
I gave you a freebie here.
If they get a field goal, we tie. If
they get a field goal, we tie. Yep. So should I say 48-0? What do you think? I'll give you the option.
Go ahead.
48?
Yeah, go ahead.
48-0 it is, but that means we miss an extra point. I don't want that to happen, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well,
so you're 49.
Or it could be
two
field goals.
Yeah, it's true.
With the six touchdowns.
And Mr. Automatic, he doesn't miss field goals. Devin Kenton this year hasn't missed a field goal attempt yet.
Watch your mouth.
So, yes, right. I'm sorry about that. So, and it's like a perfect game. You shouldn't talk about it like they did yesterday at the Iowa game up in the press box when Beathard's 15 of 15 at halftime. People were talking about
it. Was he really?
Yes, 15 of 15. And I'm talking, as soon as one of the guys in the press box said that, I'm like, are you serious right now? What? You don't talk about a perfect game? Then he blew it.
Unless you're ESPN.
Unless you're ESPN, yeah, right.
On Twitter, they always jinx the
no-hitters. Oh, he's throwing a perfect game through seven innings. Well, guess he's not going to make it through eight.
Nope.
So.
All right. Pick a click, Jay.
Luke Lenock?
Yeah, you already used him.
Luke Lenock? No, he's the same guy.
Nope.
No, not really. It isn't because the name's not right. No, not that either.
He doesn't play.
Nope, he doesn't. So, Luke, I told you I would on our road game get you one time, and that was it. Until we get to the playoffs, then all bets are off.
All bets are off.
Playoffs? Yep. But this is week six. There's a lot of hay to put in the barn before we get to that point. For this week, I am going to go with, there's some symmetry, our interview of the week, Cooper Koenig. That's my pick to click.
That's a good pick.
This week.
That's borderline
it
not,
is,
not
but,
fair.
But we didn't make the rule for him.
Okay. Well, I'm going on Devin Kenan. He's getting the end zone this week with the football. Not counting for a 2-point conversion.
Okay. That was the other one.
Pressure's on, Devin.
I figured, one of us had to take him and, you're the better man for the job at that than I am.
Thank you.
You guys have the same color hair.
Appreciate that.
You like the same music.
We do?
No, actually you don't.
I would guess not.
No, I'm...
Probably polar opposites.
I don't
opposites.
Think that he likes Green Day. I've listened to some of his music in the parking lot, and it's not Green Day.
I'm guessing it's rap.
It may just well be.
Yep.
That's what the kids listen to, man.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's what they do.
I'm sorry, but that's terrible.
We can't... This is Talking Bear football. Not making fun of kids' music unless I'm making fun of Green Day for you. That's
different. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just...
You're disagreeing
that I don't like it.
You keep listening to it, Devin. The Bears are 5 wins and 0 losses.
Whatever
we keep winning, you keep listening.
Whatever you do, whatever you need to do.
Every time you go out, you got to show out. That one by Juicy J,
Young Cash Money,
and Young Jock.
Those great
Juicy
names.
J and somebody else, Sean Kingston. That's him. Every time I go out, I got to show out. That's his jam.
I'll trust you on that.
He and Garrett Tucker. That's their jam. One night on the way on the bus.
I'll trust you.
But we've got those out of the way. You've heard our picks to click. You've heard our score projections. And if you want to be a part of it, Mike Westcott, get back into business this week. We missed you. Matt's going to tell you what you can do to be a part of it.
Well, you can tweet at us.
You could. The Twitter.
At WB Bears Football. Let us know your score and your pick to click. You can write on our Facebook page. You can email us, contact@westbranchfootball.com. You can use all of those if you're not listening to this on the website, if you downloaded it using a podcast app. If you are listening to it on the website, easiest way, just scroll down a little bit. There's a comment section down there. I promise. It's there. It's not going to bite. Leave us your comment, and we'll so you can get in the running for pride.
For pride.
For pride. Because that's how you can win.
Don't worry. At some point, we'll come up with something really nice.
Eventually.
Yes. But it's going to take a lot more people to be involved.
Yep.
Well, we've had a lot of fun this week, Matt, and hopefully the Bears continue to make it even more fun for us by getting a homecoming victory on Friday night. Be sure, on Wednesday night, the homecoming parade will begin, I believe, at about 6:30. Usually it tees off from the bus barn by the Little Rose Bowl at Oliphant Street Field. And goes throughout the town, here and there, left, right, right, right. And then after that, of course, make sure to come up to the Little Rose Bowl for the crowning, the anointing of the king and queen of West Branch High School for the week of homecoming. I hate to say it, but Matt, we weren't voted in. We are not. We did not make the final ballot.
I don't know who I need to talk to over there.
Seriously. They didn't.
I don't know.
What do we got to do? I mean, we have a lot of listeners here, and you'd think that our popularity. Nah, let's not get into that. Who cares? But I hate seeing this, but I guess this means it's over, Matt. You know what's happening right now.
There's a song playing.
There's a song playing, so. But this one's not in the book, so we had to pass the song books in. And what? Oh, I like this song. It's a little Green Day.
I could get you a song book of this song.
You could?
There's probably one sitting in here somewhere.
I bet you have one there in your bedroom.
Or three.
Yeah. Or six.
Yeah.
But it's Green Day. Homecoming.
Yep.
Boy, this song works well.
I mean, the intro we had, Home Sweet Home.
That's right.
And now we're ending with Homecoming. We might have to start off the next episode with the same song.
If the Bears win, it's just done.
You got to. Okay.
We're on the road again.
It's 9 minutes long, so we could use the beginning of the song.
We could. Yeah.
Which sounds totally different.
It does.
You wouldn't think it's the same song.
I don't think there's
any
cursing in there. That's good.
Well, if there is, I'll...
You just edit it.
I'll leave it out.
Well, we're going to start passing those song books in. The tree, the gifts are under the tree. They're all wrapped up.
Yep.
They are all wrapped up. Yep. So I guess what that means is...
We're done.
We're done.
And you've been listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast. I'll finish it too. On WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.